I think are very, very, very important. And I'm hoping to get through this tonight, but I'm not going to guarantee it because there is a lot of information that we're going to cover very quickly. And I'm going to try to explain it to the best I can. You're going to see it up here on the, there's a PowerPoint that I have tonight. And so you're going to be able to see everything that I'm doing up on the screen tonight. But we're going to start reading it. I want to go back to verse 2. We covered verses 1 and 2 the last time that we studied. And I want to go back to verse 2 because I believe that part of verse 2 belongs with verse 3. And I'm going to show you why in a minute. And when they translated the Bible, sometimes they didn't translate it exactly the way I feel they should translate it. And I'm going to show that to you here very shortly. But let's take and start at verse number 2 again, and we'll go from there. It says, "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, the throne was set in heaven, and one that sat on the throne. And he that sat on the throne looked like a jasper and a sardis stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne there were 24 elders, or 24 seats, and upon every seat I saw 24 elders sitting clothed with white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunder, and the voice, and there were 7 lamps that were burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was there arose a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around about the throne there were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast was like a calf, and the third beast was like the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts and each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Now, we're going to be looking at all of this tonight, and I hope that we can get through it, but I don't know if we will or not, because there's an awful lot in here that I want to show you about the throne room of God. Now, we're going to go back to verse 2, and I'm going to show you what I mean. In verse 2, it says, "And immediately I was in the Spirit." Okay, now I feel that that should go along with verse 1, because John is talking about heaven door opened and the trump sound and this and that, come up hither, and immediately he was in the, I believe that that should be with verse 1, all right? Then the rest of that verse, I believe, should be with verse 3, and this is why, because it says, "Behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one that sat on the throne." Now, in the original, the "and" was not in there. "And" was not in there. So the verse actually would have read, "And immediately I was in the Spirit," period. And then, "Behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one that sat on the throne. And he that sat on the throne was to look upon like jasper," and so on and so forth. What we're going to do is we're going to look at this throne. And what the throne is this picture that I have of the throne up here, or that Dana's going to put up for me, is probably not a good depiction of what it would be in heaven. However, I thought that this was the most kingly throne I could find on the internet, and so I put it up here. But if you take and you think of thrones, you think, who sat on thrones? Kings. Kings and queens sat on thrones. And so it was a royal place for people to be. And if you remember back in the book of Esther, I remember what Esther said. She said, unless I am called into the king's presence and I come into his presence without being called, I will be killed. And they had to be called into the king's presence by the king, or their life would have been taken. Now here we see that a little bit of a throne room and a throne. And if you remember King Saul, he was the first to be mentioned in the Bible with a throne. And I believe that he may have seen other thrones by other kings, and he may have patterned his throne after these other kings. And so here we see that the throne in heaven, I don't believe, was anything like what we're looking here, but I just use it as a picture. And I believe that the throne that John saw, he could not explain. All he knew was it was a throne, and it was beautiful. It was probably solid gold, and it was something to marvel at. But, you know, God also sits on the throne, which means that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we need to take and understand that. And then it says that around the throne, if you go, let's look down here a little bit farther. I missed part of it. He that sat on the throne was looked upon as jasper and a sardis stone, and there was a rainbow around about the throne. Okay, we're going to take and cover the rainbow here in just a minute. But the one that sat on the throne, he was of jasper and sardis. He was that color, all right? He wasn't the actual stone, but the only thing that John could come up with for a description was that he was of this color, or the illumination was of this color of what he saw, of jasper and of sardis. Now, where else did we see jasper and sardis? Go back to the book of Exodus, when they made the ephod for Aaron. And in the ephod, there was jasper and sardis stones put in the breastplate of Aaron. So here we see that he had the appearance of, and I don't believe that John saw God's face. All he saw was a illuminated image on the throne. Because if he would have looked on to God, being, you know, even though he was in the spirit, that's where he probably would have stayed, because he could have went back and wrote everything that he saw. This is what God looks like. But he didn't. So I don't believe that he saw God's face. Now, if you take any look at around about the throne, was a rainbow, and what color was it? Emerald. Okay, what color is emerald?
Green.
Yeah, it's green. Now, as I was looking at this, if you don't have to turn to this, but in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 13, it says, I do set my bow in the cloud, that it shall be for a token of the covenant between me and the earth. Now, we remember the story of Noah and how after the flood, God put the rainbow in the sky, and that was an everlasting covenant. Now, notice that it says, I put my what? My bow. Now, the thing I found so interesting about this is that God has a bow in heaven, and it's over the throne. Now, what it says to me is that rainbow or that bow over the throne is a reminder to God that he will never again destroy the earth by water. And we need to take and understand that. We need to understand that God's promises are everlasting. And we need to realize that what he says, he will do. And so here we see that this this rainbow or this bow that was over the throne was of a greenish color. And I don't believe that John could fully comprehend what that really was, or the colors that were in it, or anything else about it. All he could do was put down what it meant to him in his mind. You know, it'd be like if John would come today, and he's looking at a computer, how would he explain a computer? There was a screen of glass. There was a screen of glass, and images appeared. You know, that's all he could put down, because he had no idea what a computer is. You know, and when he got to heaven, he saw all this, and he had to put it down in his mindset and what it meant to him while he looked at it. And, we got to realize that since the time of John, there's been a lot of technology and things that have transformed this world into what we are today. And so he was putting down everything that he could. You know, he could have put down, well, he says there was a image that was up on whatever, you know what I mean? And it looked like this. But it wasn't. He saw this bowl, and it was an emerald color. But he could not really, I don't believe that he could really tell what it was. He goes on to say that there was 24 seats. Let's take a look at this real quick. And around about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed with white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now, I've done a study on this, and there's an awful lot of controversy about who these 24 are. But I wanted, if you got your Bibles, turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of 1 Chronicles. First Chronicles chapter 24. Now this is David, and he's setting up the temple and setting up the tribes of Israel that it's talking about. It's the divisions of the sons of Aaron by their lot into the 24 orders. Now, starting in verse number 3, it says, "And David distributed them both Zadok, the son of Eleazar, and Elimelech, the son of Ithamar, according to the offices of their service. And there were more chief men found of the sons of Eleazar than of the sons of Ithamar. And thus were they divided among the sons of Eleazar. There were 16 chief men in the house of their fathers, and 8 among the sons of Ithamar, according to the house of their fathers." Now, I'm going to stop right there for a minute. And what this is that David is setting up elders to run the temple. That's what it's all about. That's what he's talking about is this. Now, there was 24 elders that were picked out of the line of Aaron, and they had to be in Aaron's line. They had to be Levites. They had to be of the family of Aaron. Now, there were 24 of them, and it goes down and tells who they are. And let's drop down here to verse. Let's see. Okay, then let's go down to verse 20, and it says, "And the rest of the sons of Levi were these," and it goes on to say who they were and what they were and everything. And so what we need to realize is this, is that these men were picked for a certain purpose, and they were the ones who were going to judge the children of Israel or be their spiritual leaders, so to speak, okay? And they had to be of the line of Aaron. Now, if you go back to Moses, Moses picked 70 elders to take over and do some of the judging. And he picked 70 elders to do that. Now, I read one commentary, and I have to agree with him in that, into a point, but in he said that the children of Israel were always ruled, each family was ruled by elders, two elders. And so if you take and you think about that, there's 12 tribes. Each of them had two elders. And if you look at Moses, when Moses first went back to Egypt, he called the elders of Israel and met with them. And I believe that he called 24 men in, and then they went into Pharaoh. And so what I believe that this is talking about is it's talking about 24 elders who were in the Old Testament. Now, there's 176 times in the Bible the word elder comes up. Most of them are in Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy. The New Testament elder is different than what the Old Testament elder is, in that the New Testament elder, the word there, means bishop or head of the church. Now, back then, it was an older person who was very knowledgeable in the things of God. And I believe that these 24 are picked by God, and they were the elders of the Israelites back in the Old Testament. And it's interesting to see what is happening here with them. Now, let's keep going here just a little bit. So here we see that there's two from each tribe. David appointed 24 elders to do the Lord's work, and these were the all of the family of Aaron. And there's a lot of commentaries that believe that this is who the 24 elders were, and that because they were handpicked by David to do this. And so then what we see here next is each of us each of them had a crown on. It says, we're 24 elders, and upon them sitting clothed in white raiment, they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now, there's two things there that I need to take and talk to you about. Number one is white robe. What does a white robe represent? Huh? Okay, purity or righteousness. Okay, when we get to heaven, we're going to be given a white robe. We're going to be given a white robe to wear in heaven. And now here you see that these 24 elders, they had their white robes already. That means that they had already died and went to heaven. When John saw them, see, there's some commentators that are saying, well, 12 of those seats are for the apostles, the 12 apostles. But they couldn't have been because the apostles had not died yet and they weren't in heaven. So here we see that these 24 had to have already died and been in heaven. And they were given their white robes and they were given a crown. Now, all of us are going to receive a crown when we get to heaven. We're going to have a crown of righteousness. We're going to have a soul winner's crown. We're going to have and things like that. In James chapter 1, verse 12, it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now, the elders had special crowns that they had earned while they were doing the service of the Lord. Now, I can't imagine the persecution that they went through after David's reign. Now think about David's reign and Solomon's reign. The elders and the priests and that, they were treated very well. But after that, when they divided the kingdom up and Rehoboam and Jeroboam had it, everything went south real fast. And the elders were the ones who were persecuted the worst of anybody of that day. I mean, many of them were killed, many of them were tortured, and I believe that it was through that is where the 24 elders were in front of the throne. And they were given their white robes, and they were given their crowns. And so someday we're all going to have a crown when we get to heaven. I always think of, what a glorious day that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. And so here we see that they were all given a crown of gold. and they were here around the throne of God. Now, let's keep going here. And then verse 5, it says, "And out of the throne proceeded lightning and thunder, and lightning and thunder, and a voice, and there were seven lamps burning in front of them." Well, we'll be talking about that later. But here we see lightning and thunder coming out of the throne. Now, I have no idea. You know, have you ever seen a Vandegraaff generator, it's called? We had one here at school at one time. I don't know whatever happened to it. What it is a ball on the top, and you plug it in, and you can see the stuff going in, and you can take your hand and go over the top of it, and the electricity will follow your hand all the way around it. And that's the only thing I can describe that would possibly be like coming out of this throne, is lightning and thunder. Now, was it actual lightning and thunder? I believe it was. But there again, John is trying to explain what he's seeing and what he's hearing with his knowledge of that day. You know, it could have been lasers. It could have been, you know, something else like that. It could have been huge speakers. You know, we have no idea. All he says is that he saw lightning and heard thunder coming out of the throne. Now, you know, I have no idea what he saw or anything like that, but I know that he was trying to show what he saw in his language that people would understand. Now, then there was also voices out of the thunder. Now, in Psalm 77, verse 18, it says, "The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven, and lightning lighted the world. The earth trembled and shook." Now, this is talking about the voice of God. Now, think about that. The voice of God is thunder and it's lightning. That's what God's voice is all about. So here was probably God speaking, and there was thunder and lightning coming out of the throne as he spoke. Now, you know, God's voice is like a thunder, and his very presence is like lightning. You know, I have no idea, none whatsoever, what it'd be like to be in the presence of an all-holy God. Mm-hmm. Yep. The okay. Then you go down. Let's go look at the rest of that verse. It says there were seven spirits of God. Now we went into the seven spirits of God in depth in the study of the seven spirits of God, because in Isaiah 11:2 it says, "And the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord." All seven of these spirits make up what? What do these seven spirits make up? The Holy Spirit, one Holy Spirit. And what we need to realize is here was the seven spirits individually in heaven, separate. Now, so here we see three things in heaven. We see God the Father on the throne. We see God the Son, who is with John, and then we see the seven spirits of God. So in the throne room of God is these 24 elders. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three, all of them are together in the throne room. Now, it doesn't say that there was any angels in the throne room. There was no angels mentioned in here about being in the throne room. But yet Michael said, "I am one that has been in God's presence." Remember, I just had a message on that a couple weeks ago, where Michael had been in God's presence. Now, I have no idea what it would be like to be in God's presence, other than it would be fearful. I would fear that I would be gone, you know, because he's all holy. Now, what we need to realize is here we see you've got the rainbow above the the throne. You've got the throne with thunder and lightning coming out. You've got the 24 elders along there. And then you've got the seven spirits of God that are there at the throne room. Now, these seven spirits, you know, they make up one Holy Spirit. And we need to realize that all of these are very important. We're going to see their importance as we go down through this. Okay, the next thing is, and before the throne was a sea of glass, like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts. We'll get into them in just a minute. Actually, that part there should be in the next verse down too, but we'll look at that in just a minute. But here we see that the before the throne was a sea of glass. Now, this was a sphere, I believe, that was transparent, yet it was translucent. It had a calming effect, yet it was mingled with fire. In Revelation chapter 15, verse 2, it says that it was mingled with fire. This glass surrounds the throne of God. Now, I'm not sure if it is flat or if it's vertical. I have no idea. None. It could be bulletproof. I mean, you know, I don't know. You know, but it says it was a sea of glass. Now, what we need to realize is that when John was looking at this, he had no idea what this was like. You know, all he said it was like what? Crystal. So it was clear. You could see through it. But yet it was also translucent because there was fire in it. And so we have no real idea of what this could be. You know, he said, okay, it was a sea of glass. Could it have been acrylic? You know what I mean? That looks like glass. Or, you know, what actually was it made out of? You know, I mean, we have no idea, and we won't know until we get to heaven. But, you know, if John would have seen something that was made out of acrylic, you know, like plexiglass, you know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? What would he have called it? A sea of glass. Because in his mind, that's all he knew was glass. You know, he didn't know that plastics and stuff like that because they weren't invented yet. And so there's a lot of things that I believe that he saw that he had to put into his thought pattern and the thought pattern of the people of the day. And so here we see this sea of glass and what it is. Now, then we get into the four beasts. It says, and I feel that this should be, now the word were was put in there. So four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like unto a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast like the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Now, and these four beasts, each of them had six wings, about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Now, I put these pictures up there. I found these on the internet the other day, and I put them in here. And so you have a little bit of an idea of what these four were going to look like. In the midst of the throne, and around about the throne was these four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Now, the first beast was like a lion. Now, these all show something. Now, Sunday night before, I preached on the seven beasts, or the four beasts in Daniel's dream. Remember that? There was four beasts there, but they aren't the same as what these are. Now, what we need to realize that these four beasts represent something very important, and we need to understand what they are. Each of these beasts stand for something. What are they, Susan? What's that? The four Gospels. They represent the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you go, well, how does that? If you look at when Matthew wrote the book of Matthew, you see that He wrote it as the son of what? Son of who? Who was the first one? Come on, Susan. What was Matthew? King. Huh? He's the lion. Okay, what does the lion represent? The king of beasts. So Matthew was written to depict Jesus as king. You know, the Magi came and everything, and they represented him as the king. Okay, Luke represented him as what? Nope. The ox, the son of man. And Mark, when he wrote the book of Mark, he wrote the book of Mark to depict Jesus as the son of man or a servant. And if you go through the book of Mark, you'll see how that shows Jesus as a servant. Then if you get into the Luke represents him as a what? Nope. Huh? As a man, the son of man. And now what we need to realize is that Luke showed him in his human state or his humanity. Now, why was it important for Luke to write about the son of man and not Matthew or Mark? Who can tell me? Luke was a physician, exactly. So he knew about the physical body. And so he wrote about Jesus being the Son of Man. Okay, then what comes in the book of John? The eagle. And that represents the Son of God. If you go through the whole book of John, you see everywhere in there, John is pointing to Jesus as the Son of God. After all, look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You know, what we need to realize is that John depicted him as an eagle or the Son of God. And to tell you the truth, I didn't catch this until I was doing her pace in high school. And that's where I got it from. And it made perfect sense because I always wondered what those represented. And then I started studying them out even deeper. And there's a lot of commentaries that say the same thing, is that it depicts the four Gospels. Now, did John understand what these were when he wrote the book of Revelation? No, he didn't, because the Gospels were not in print yet. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John weren't in print yet. The Word of God had not been penned out yet. It was still being penned out, but it was not put together yet. So I don't believe that he could put down that, okay, the lion represented the book of Matthew. I don't believe that he could put down that the calf represented the book of Mark, and the man represented the book of Luke, and that the eagle represented the book of John. You know, he couldn't do that because they weren't put together yet. So all he could do in his mind was say, okay, this is what this all is. There was an ox, there was a man, there was an eagle, and there was a lion. But he could not put into words what they were. Now, there's some very interesting things also about these beasts. What did they have? Yeah, they had eyes all around. What else? Wings. Now, I came across this today, believe it or not. And what did the wings represent? Okay, we said the beast represented what? The Gospels, right? Okay. The wings represented taking the gospel to all of the world. And I did not catch that until today. The gospel was to go to all of the world. And that's what the wings were for, was to take the gospel throughout the world, to show salvation to every man. And the eyes represented them looking to and fro
to find those who needed the Savior. And what we need to realize is this is all put together so that people could find the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is something else that I found very interesting. They were where? Where are these beasts at? In front of the throne. They're no longer in the world. They weren't in the world anymore. Now, what did they do? What was their job now? Huh? Praise God. Look what they said. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come. You know, what we need to realize is these four beasts give God glory all the time. The four Gospels give glory to God all the time. Well, if the four Gospels can give God glory, why can't we? Amen? You know, there's an awful lot in this that, you know, we should be using in our own lives to get things across to other people. Now, time is it? Oh, I'm way over. We're going to finish this up. Verse 9, it says, "And when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, and thanks to sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, and the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created." How many of you know that song? There's a song that's in that verse. There's a song out of there. Thou art worthy, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, glory and honor. Thou art worthy, O Lord, for thou hast created, hath all things created. Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are created. For thou art worthy, O Lord. That's the song. Cool song, ain't it? I like to do that for a course of the month sometime. We got to find the music for it. But here we see that when the beasts would say, "Holy, holy, holy," the elders fell on their face. They took their crowns off and they laid them at the feet of God. I mean, I can't see a better picture of repentance and of forgiving than that. And I believe that, you know, all of us need to take a, and think about this, because someday we're going to be in that throne room. We're going to see all this, and we'll know what John was talking about. And so next week we're going to start chapter 5, or is it first of the month? Oh, question and answer next week. Question and answer next week. All right. Mm-hmm. Huh? It isn't next week? Is the following week? Okay, week after next is question and answer. So next week we're going to start chapter 5. And I'll tell you what, you want to be here for these, because there's an awful lot. I've got more PowerPoints I'm going to be doing, and you want to be here for them. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for all you've done for us. I pray that we can use some of this in our own lives. I just pray that we might have got something out of this, and we'll just give you the praise and thanks and all you've done. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, sorry I kept you a little over, but I thought it was worth it.